You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with writer-director Joanna Hogg. As the follow-up to her masterful 2019 film, The Souvenir, The Souvenir Part 2 picks up in the aftermath of film student Julie's turbulent relationship with her ex-lover, Anthony. Although he's passed away, the sting of his abuse remains fresh on Julie's life, and she's left to untangle her complicated love for him. In this one-on-one, we speak to Hogg about her initial plans for the sequel, the struggle for people to appreciate your voice, and the relationship between love and control. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome. Thank you so much for chatting with me. I really, really do appreciate it. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, not at all. No, pleasure. Yeah.
The Souvenir, the Souvenir films are beautiful, but this one is so stunning and poetic and just a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. I was wondering, did you always intend on returning to Julie's story, or was that something that evolved after the first film?
No, I always intended that, and I intended to shoot them at the same time, in fact. And I wrote them together I started writing them in 2015, but I never questioned the two parts. It always felt right to me to be structured in that way. But they needed to be two separate films, but part of the same universe. And it was never an afterthought. It was a necessity, actually, because I really couldn't have made the first part without the second one.
Yeah.
But I'm aware that people saw the first one probably not having any idea that there was going to be another film coming along. So
it's fair. It balances out the film so beautifully, the first film. I need to ask, are you thinking of going back for another round, or is this the complete story for you?
I think this is the complete story, but then I have made another film since, which I'm still working on. I've been sound mixing today, and it's not a third part, but there are some connections which I won't reveal now. But that, yeah, it's definitely not a trilogy,
right?
But I think with all my films, I always end up feeling sad that they end, and not only the actual sort of film shoot and the making of the film, but actually saying goodbye to the characters, and so some characters end up sort of moving across to the next thing, maybe not in a totally literal way, but anyway, there's something from The Souvenirs that goes into the next one, but not in necessarily an expected way.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful. That's exciting. I confess, I was new to the two films with this one coming out. So this was my first time seeing them. And Honor is completely wonderful in the role. Just remarkable. To see her working with Tilda and just the opportunity there. But what was it about Honor that fully exemplified Julie to you? How did you know she was the one?
Yeah, well, it was based on a very brief encounter, actually, on a station platform. And we were talking about, she was talking about what it's like to be 19. She was 19 at the time when I'd already met her. I mean, I already knew her because I already knew Tilda, but I never saw her as a performer before. But anyway, we were on this station platform in Scotland, both about to go in different directions. And she was just talking very articulately, but very sort of intimately about, anyway, her experience of being the age she was then. And something just struck me about what she was saying that made me feel about myself at the same age, and that really things don't change that much, even though young people growing up now have social media. You know, there's so many different environmental factors that are different. But anyway, she just reminded me of my younger self, I guess. And I wasn't even looking for a younger self for this role, but it just felt, yeah, I just thought, well, she could be this young filmmaker, and Honor's very creative. She's a wonderful writer, and she's, I just thought, yeah, she could be put in these film students' shoes.
Yeah, she really inhabits the character, just feels very natural. It's really incredible. One of the things, you know, you one of the things that about Julie's story that fascinates me so much is the interplay between life and art. And I love the line where it says, but not too obvious. not too obvious, right? No. Yeah. I tried. Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I was wondering about this relation, about that particular relationship. What is it about that relationship between life and art that you find so fascinating?
Yeah, I don't even see it in that way. I mean, I don't know if I can, well, in, I mean, I guess I do, but what I mean to say is it's so much part of my, what I do is so much part of my life. Mm. I think that's it. And I think for all the films I've made so far, there's very much a connection to my life as well as being a piece of work, a film. And I'm not good with boundaries, and I'm not good with a boundary between what I do and the life I lead. And the life I lead, yeah, is I connect my life with what I do. I mean, I'm not putting it very well, but anyway, there's a blurring between the two. I don't see them as separate things.
Right, that's fair. That comes across in the film. Like even the ending itself is one of those moments where you just, it pulls everything back and you're just like, oh, okay. It's beautiful. I was really wondering too about the poem by Christina Rossetti that shows up. It, you know, it sort of arrives and then disappears, but it also sort of flows throughout the storytelling. I was wondering why you thought it was so important to bring that particular poem into the film.
Yeah, well, I wanted a poem that was about death, and was it was really about finding something that Julie's friend could recite to her that as a sort of comforting thing for Julie, really, at that moment in time. And it connected with a moment or something that I experienced when I had a loss myself. And I had a friend, and in fact, it was Tilda who was the friend, who read me a poem at that time. And anyway, again, it's this blurring that just I can't escape from. So it was taking something from my own life. Maybe I was getting a bit too personal there. But anyway, taking something from my own life and then sort of reinterpreting it in this fictional space.
For sure. Absolutely. And actually, you know, speaking, you know, you talk about the connections with your own life. I wonder, there's that scene where Julie is sitting in front of the board and they're just sitting there and they just don't understand. It's not even like this is not good, although they do get very critical of the way the script is written, but they just struggle to understand her voice entirely. And there are other moments where characters are like this, I don't understand what's happening. As an artist for yourself, I was wondering, has that been a challenge for you as you develop and create your films?
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel fortunately less so in that way now. I mean, I'm my worst critic. But at that time when I was a film student, I did come up against tutors at film school who didn't understand what I wanted to do and where I was going. I mean, now I look back and I think I don't actually blame them for not getting me, because I don't think I was that clear about what I wanted to do and where I was going. But I suppose I just wanted an arm. I wanted someone to reach out to me, give me a hand, even if to say, "Well, I don't understand what you're doing, but I support you in taking risks and maybe failing." I mean, I felt at film school, it wasn't possible to fail. Really, you had to be very certain and confident in what you were doing, and I was still very much, you know, finding my way in the dark at that point. Maybe I think I still am, but I certainly was then. And so, yes, I think it's difficult when you're young and you've got lots of ideas. And I would have liked to have found somebody who understood me, but I'm not sure if that would have been possible even.
Yeah, of course. And of course, when you're young too, you're thinking more conceptually.
Yes,
you're older,
yes.
You're thinking more practically, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I want to convey this feeling, this thing. And okay, but how are you going to do that? Well, this, you know, I could see that.
The passion can sometimes be ahead of the sort of how you're actually going to do it. And yeah, so I think in some ways they were right and I don't blame them and I forgive them.
Well, you know, one of the other things I thought was interesting in the film, there's this moment where Julie is speaking to, I'm not sure if it's a therapist or just another woman. And she's talking about her relationship with, forgive me, I cannot remember the name of her former relationship.
Anthony. Yeah, sure.
And she draws a connection between love and control. And I thought that was really interesting. I wonder if you could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, well, the person she's speaking to is actually a parapsychologist. Mm. And she is a really wonderful woman who I've known for many years. And she's, but I think in the context of the film, she comes across, she's like a therapist, but she can sense things. Mm. And she can tune into Anthony. And those scenes happen very much. I didn't really intervene that much because I let Gail talk to Julie, but she was also talking to Honor because she's incredibly, incredibly perceptive was able to tune into Julie and Honor and even myself because being in the room as well. I'm going into far too much detail about this anyway. She's an extraordinary woman, what she says is really from her heart and genuine. They're not words that I put on a page that she recites.
That's what I was going to say. So was it more improvisational in that?
That was completely improvised. I mean, that was completely improvised. Yeah. Julie is having a session with Gail.
Oh, wow. That's it felt so natural. I was wondering, but I thought, wow, they did an excellent job, but it was actually sort of unfolding that way. That's incredible. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Actually, I haven't said that to anyone before. So I'm always sort of like, think, oh, yeah, I'm sort of revealing too much, but credit to Gail Ferguson who plays that character. I mean, she's a really amazing woman.
Yeah. She does an excellent job. It's just as we start to wrap up, one of the things I appreciated the fact that this is a film about grief that sits in there, but it's also about rebirth. You know, I think she makes a comment of saying, I'm born again at the end of the film. And I was just wondering, from your perspective, what that means to you, that sort of freedom that she finds.
Yeah, well, it means a lot to me, and it meant a lot to me that Julie reaches that point at the end of the film where she can say she's happy and she's on her own. She's not in a relationship at that point, but she's happy. And her friend thinks she's in love, thinks there must be a man around, but there isn't. She's just reached that point in her life. And maybe that point in time won't last, who knows? I don't think that's necessarily her state for the rest of her life. I don't believe that at all. But at that particular point in time, she's reached that contentment. And that was really important for me, for Julie to find that point, not formed by a relationship, by a man, but actually on her own and independently.
There's a piece there. And it's not about, it's interesting because her friend sort of takes her head and puts it on her shoulder as in it. And I sat there and I went, but she's okay.
Yeah.
What's the problem? She's all right.
Yeah.
It's stunning and it's beautiful. And it really is a wonderful, wonderful film. I really appreciate the chance to speak with you, Joanna, because it is just lovely.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, that's so lovely to hear. Yeah, no, it really is. Thank you.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate the time, and I wish you the best with the film. I wish you success. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you too. Yeah, thank you. Bye.
All right.